It's Thursday, late afternoon, and let's be real. There are some weeks and some days when your work schedule or personal life can be tough stuff. Welcome to the Mental Health Happy Hour, brought to you by your good friends at Family Solutions, one of the largest behavioral health agencies in the state of Louisiana. Today's show is brought to you by American National Insurance agent Derek Kennedy and Dax Wings and Grill, and sponsored in part by Origin Bank, Portico, and the Dustin James team at Keller Williams. Now, here are your hosts of the Mental Health Happy Hour, Dr. Scott Zentner and Dr. Scott Shelby.
Welcome to the Mental Health Happy Hour, right here on KMLB 540, 105.7 FM, and iHeartRadio. We're here to discuss mental health and wellness. As always, if you have questions or comments, feel free to call the text line, the Origin Bank text line, at 318-324-1500. I'm your host, Scott Shelby, alongside Dr. Scott Zentner. How are you today, Dr. Z?
I'm doing great. I'm probably a lot more relaxed than you. You're juggling a lot of balls today. You got that conference that you do twice a year at the university, and rushing back and forth between there and the office, and now the radio station.
That's right.
Take a deep breath.
Now, it's been a busy week, Dr. Z, but we've been able to have continuing education for counselors in North Louisiana over the last 2 days, and they've come from all around to receive this yearly annual continuing education hours, and we do that twice a year. We host it out at ULM's Bayou Point Event Center, and it's just such a great place. We get nothing but good feedback about the location. It's new. The technology's great. And we have a beautiful view of Bayou Desired right out the left side of the room. So if you're getting bored by a talk, just kind of stare off at the water.
You know, I've had the pleasure of talking at that conference several times on a variety of topics, and I've gotten feedback afterwards. Dr. Zentner, I really appreciated your talk on treating insomnia. I said, I don't believe I talked about that. I know you didn't, but it worked for me. I fell out of sleep in the first 5 minutes, and I just play a recording of your voice and that drone and the uhs and the you knows, and it just puts me out. But, no, I'm glad you had a good turnout. It's nice to be able to transition from the virtual presentation to having folks, back on site. And, it's a great opportunity to catch up with all your colleagues.
Yeah, the networking is always what I think is the best part of those events. You obviously, you get good education, remind you of things and to be mindful of in your clinical work, you know, ethics, that sort of thing. But it's always good to see familiar faces and meet new people. And it's a great opportunity to do that.
We've actually gotten some ideas for guests on this program from that conference. So we've networked specifically for that show, for this show. And typically, we like to promote holistic care here, mind, body, and spirit. We've had people come on whose focus is more physical and some whose more mental, and today we've got a guest that is going to cover all the bases. He is a true mind, body, and spirit guy. We're happy to have him join us, Dr. Bruce Hennigan, who is local as well, right down the road in Shreveport. He is he's actually a man of many talents, but I think he would refer to his primary profession as his 40 years of experience as a radiologist in Shreveport, but he has a literary career as well, and we're going to talk today about one of his books.
I believe he's written about 8 or 9 books.
I think more than that.
And one of the books that he has written, co-authored with, is what we want to discuss again. It's discussed today. It's called Hope Again, A Lifetime Plan for Conquering Depression. So it's what an honor to have Dr. Bruce Hennigan join us. Welcome to the show, Dr. Hennigan.
Thanks, Scott. Kind of want to meet that guy you've been talking about. Oh, that's me. Yeah. Thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate it. Now I know why I'm so tired.
We wanted you on the show, as you know, Bruce, sometime back. Scott Zentner here. It gets confusing with two Scotts. He usually just refers to me as Z. We had some obstacles on our end with our production, and I think we got that worked out. And you had illness issue come up, and I hope you're feeling better.
Oh yes, I took a trip to Tennessee and got COVID. So second time this summer. So, but I'm getting over it now. I'm feeling better. So,
well, we're glad to have you. As Dr. Shelby referenced, we really want to focus a lot on today on your book, Hope Again: A Lifetime Plan for Conquering Depression, which you co-authored, I believe, with your pastor, Mark Sutton. And so you talk a lot about some of the biological, physical aspects, but also spiritual. And then Mark focuses on some of these so-called life filters and scripture that can be very reassuring and give people hope as they're battling depression. I didn't know anything about this book until I had a patient come in one day, and I'd had changed his medicines around a little bit, and he came in. He looked a lot better. I could tell when he walked in my office. And I said, you think we've got you on the right medicine now? And he looked better. And he said, how do you feel? He said, oh, I feel a lot better. And the medicines are pretty good, but I was just scouring the Internet looking for some self-help books, and I came across this book that we're going to talk about today. It was written by a doctor in Shreveport. And I said, I know most of those psychiatrists over there. Who was it? I was not familiar with it. He said, well, he's not a psychiatrist. He's actually a radiologist. I said, interesting. And, yes, and he writes, along with his co-author, Pastor Sutton, about their own experiences. And he said, I could tell from reading this book that these guys have gone through the same thing I'm going through. And it was really helpful. I mean, it dramatically improved his depression, and it has been sustained, his improvement over the last several months. So I just want That's you to fantastic. Take off from there and tell us a little bit about what inspired you to write the book and sharing any of your own personal experiences with depression, if
sure.
you feel comfortable. Well, we're just glad to have you.
Well, thank you. You know, the first thing I tell people is, yes, I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm a radiologist. And the closest I come to that is when I'm interpreting MRI of somebody's brain, and then I'm actually reading their mind. But that's the closest I come to being a psychologist. But this book came out of the same kind of tension that your patient felt. It's been a number of years, over 20 years, since I went through a major depressive episode. Same thing. I went on, that's back when the Internet was beginning in its infancy, but it was pretty robust by that time. I could not find any books on depression, and being a typical man, I said, I don't need no stinking counselor. I can take care of this myself. And my wife, of course, kind of slapped some wisdom into my head and said, yes, you need help. And I got professional help and did 2 years of counseling. And during that time, my pastor at that time, he's retired now, was also my best friend. And I just, one day he saw me using one of my tools called a life filter, which we can talk about in a little bit. He said, what is that card you hold in your hand? And I told him, I said, this is a tool I've developed to help me with my depression. And then he confessed to me, he said, I've been suffering from depression since I was 18 years old. And I said, no, that's impossible. You're a pastor. You're supposed to be perfect. You're supposed to have everything in order. And of course, I quickly learned that everybody, that doesn't matter who you are, you're going to have episodes in your life like depression. So he and I began to talk, and I said, I just can't find any good books. And he was an author of a book on marriage. And so we were talking about his book, and I said, my sister told me that anybody can break bad habits in 30 days. So we decided to write a book. And we said, let's do it in a 30-day plan, because when you're depressed, you can't just sit down and read a book cover to cover.
You're right.
So we just, I said, well, let's do it, like, take them one day at a time, and let's just share with them what we've learned as lay people about depression and how we can handle it. And
well, Dr.
Scott,
Hennigan,
like said,
we are coming up on our first break.
If you can believe it this
okay,
quickly,
yeah,
but
this
we're
going
to be back. We're going to pick up right
yeah.
there. Sorry about that
okay,
interruption.
Perfect.
But can you stay with us the whole hour?
Sure.
All right.
We have Dr. Bruce Hennigan.
Y'all stay put. This guy's got a lot to educate us all on how to overcome depression.
We'll be right back.
Does your son or daughter have trouble focusing at school or even homework? It's not always ADD. Your child could benefit from occupational therapy. Call Family Solutions Pediatric Therapy at 361-7180. We help put the pieces together.
An estimated 26% of Americans aged 18 and older suffer from a diagnosable yet treatable mental health disorder. That is one out of four Americans. Depression, anxiety, PTSD, panic disorder, and social phobia. And one in five American teens. That's 20% of America's boys and girls. Sadly, many do not receive the help they need. There's good news. Here in Northeast Louisiana, there are many qualified, caring professionals who are here to help. Reach out today. It's perfectly okay. You're not alone. Help is near. Hi, I'm Derek Kennedy, a local insurance agent. With numbers like these, we all need to do our part to check in on our friends, family, church friends, and coworkers. Let's do this together.
The game's on. You're super hungry. Quick, what do? You don't have to make a choice. Why not come to Dax? The best food, great drinks, and every game you can imagine all over the walls. Come try our wings, po'boys, and burgers. Everything is homemade. Our chicken sandwich is the best in town, and you won't miss a minute of the action while you're eating.
Dax Wings and Grill, now with four locations in Monroe, Bossier City, Shreveport, and in Ruston, in the Graham Shopping Center.
Portico Bar Grill has what you crave. Steaks, seafood, burgers, wings, pizza, homemade pasta, and signature dishes. Portico Bar Grill has something to please the pickiest of eaters. Enjoy outdoor dining, top-notch wine, and 17 beers on tap, and the best lunch and dinner specials daily. Enjoy a special dinner on the open-air patio. Weekends full of fun with friends or a nice evening with family in the roomy, brick-lined bar and grill. The gang at Portico Bar and Grill are always happy to see you and your friends. Drop in after work or bring the family to Portico Bar and Grill today.
Listen and you'll hear it. The unmistakable sound of cheering, crashing helmets, and referee whistles that can only mean one thing. Louisiana football is back. Origin Bank has been a team player for more than 100 years, supporting our customers and communities to succeed no matter what challenges arise. From mobile pay to checking, savings, home and business loans, Origin's full suite of banking products and services is tailored to meet your individual needs. Visit originbank.com for details. Louisiana Football and Origin Bank, two proud team traditions. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
I'm Dr. Scott Shelby with Family Solutions. When you hear the words Family Solutions, you may not know that we're a comprehensive, strength-based counseling and psychiatric clinic. Family Solutions provides psychiatric care, individual and couples therapy, child and adolescent counseling, psychological testing, medication management. We also provide occupational therapy, physical therapy, speech therapy, and ABA therapy in one convenient location. For more information on how we can help your family today, visit FamilySolutionsCounseling.org.
You're tuned in to the Mental Health Happy Hour on KMLB 105.7 and AM 540. For questions or comments, call or text the Mosquito Authority hotline at 318-324-1500. If you're out of the area, you can reach us at 800-259-1440. Now, back to the conversation.
Welcome back to the Mental Health Happy Hour. I'm Scott Shelby, alongside Dr. Scott Zentner, and our very special guest, calling in from Shreveport, Louisiana, Dr. Bruce Hennigan. Welcome back, Bruce.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah. You were starting off talking a little bit about how you got involved with this writing and developing these tools and your pastor, and something that me and Dr. Z were talking about during the break is when you said, hey, you know, my pastor struggles with depression from time to time. You know, you said you're not supposed to have those sort of thoughts and feelings. Tell us a little bit about just how common depression can be, and then, you know, describe some of the tools that you mentioned in your book and how to help overcome some of those thoughts and feelings.
Well, first of all, one of the recurring things that I hear all the time is people come to me and say, I'm depressed, and my spouse told me I haven't prayed enough or I haven't read my Bible enough or I don't have enough faith. And like we mentioned in the introduction, depression is a total body disease. It's not just thinking. And in our book, we emphasize the importance of this holistic approach, that it's your heart, body, mind, and soul. It's all parts of who you are, because it can be a physical illness that can cause depression, and depression can cause physical illness. There's a spiritual component to it, and then there's also learning about depression, which is what we wanted to do with our book. We believe knowledge is power. And so we try to tell people, look, depression's not a sin. It's not because you don't have enough faith. You have a physical illness, and you have to think about it like that and approach it from a holistic approach. And so part of what we talk about in our book is putting together a team where you have to have a doctor to look at your physical health. You need a licensed counselor, psychologist, maybe even a psychiatrist for your psychological problems. But you also need, you know, some kind of spiritual or some foundation to help you with that, because we are spiritual beings. Of course, our book comes from a Christian point of view, but I think that's true for anybody who are people of faith. That's a very important part of it. So that's kind of what we take it. And I think it's especially today, in our post-COVID culture, and our culture is just so all over the place. There's so much hatred and discord, and, you know, depression is very, very common. I mean, you guys know suicide is at its highest rate ever. And I think in our history as Americans, it's really a challenge to try to live every day without being anxious and depressed. I don't even watch the news anymore, you know, because it just gets me down. There's never any good news. So,
yeah, you know, you mentioned the two. As I go through your book, there are two main sections that have some wonderful vignettes to help people really. The analogies you use really crystallizes kind of what depression is, and also some of the helpful tools to overcome it. But, you know, starting with the knowledge is power, and then once you have that power, you have the power to conquer. And I was looking at one section of the book where you talked about, the knowledge is power is first really getting to know yourself a little better and exploring some of those issues. You had talked about being an avid runner, and I could really relate to this. The back broke down, and so you had to transition to walking, and you'd gone on a real vigorous walk, and you started having all these signs and symptoms that worried you that you were having a heart attack. And
oh, yeah.
And you know, the paramedics were called, you were taken to the hospital, they had you cathed, and, you know, all that was done in about 10 minutes, and the cardiologist came out, hey, man, your coronary vessels are clear. And you didn't have a heart attack. Well, what the heck's wrong with me, doc? And that's when you turn to your wife, who I noticed you had devoted the book to, that, you know, honey, you just don't know how to say no. You're taking on too much. And if I may read a passage, before you had this heart episode, you said, several things had happened in my life. Two of my partners from my radiology practice had retired. We'd increased our workload at the hospital. And we had to take a lot more after-hours call. Well, that's enough right there. But then you were very devoted to your church and all the responsibilities there, and you'd agreed to help out with the drama worship service for children at church. I went on to read that you've written, 150, and acted in about 150 or so Christian dramas. And then you had to sign a book deal, and you were finishing your second manuscript, and you were preparing a rough draft for the third and the fourth book, and you were building the website, for social media, and your wife, and you had a daughter with epilepsy. Y'all had some major decisions to make there as far as her care, and your mother-in-law had moved in with you, and she just happened to have dementia. And then your father, 97 years old, was romancing five women at church and the nursing home, and you get the picture. So all that was just building up, and you know, it you were on your last nerve and didn't even know it.
And that's not even fiction. I couldn't have made all of that story up.
So
yeah,
that,
I think that's one thing that we talk about in the book is, for me personally, it was the inability to say no. It was the inability to really discern good decisions. And two things I'd say about that. First of all, in our current culture, we have analysis paralysis. I talk about that in the book. We have so many choices now, and we tend to make the wrong choices rather than realizing we really can't choose to do everything. You know, you have to be smart about making your choices, or you get overextended, just like you just mentioned. Second thing that I would say about that decision-making process is this is how I develop my life filters. For me, we used to have a swimming pool, and I watched them work on the pump. And at that time, you had several layers. You had coarse rock and then finer rock and then sand, and then it got to, like, diatomaceous material. And each layer filtered out more and more impurities until you got pure water. And I said, I need that in my life. I need to, when I have to make a decision, I need to go through these filters to help me make the right decision. So my original life filter was a card that had five questions on one side. And if somebody asked me to do something, I had to go through all five questions. And if the answer was yes with every question, then I would consider telling them yes. And on the backside of that, I had a scripture, which was just usually just very encouraging. And so for me, just like you said, I was so overextended. And what you just talked about, this was a time in my life after I had written the book. So I wasn't even paying attention to my own wisdom at the time. But I think that's true in today's fast-paced culture, information overload, fear of missing out. We just don't know how to say no many times, and we just get so overextended. You just literally burn out your brain. I mean, you get depressed, you get anxious. And before you know it, you're flat on your back thinking you're having a heart attack. So.
You know, you're exactly right, Dr. Hennigan. And, you know, having those boundaries, knowing where those limits are, is something that we work with, you know, in our practice. And it's hard because I think a lot of people feel like they're letting someone down by saying no and to not being there and being available 24/7. Can you go through some of those questions you have on the life card that could help give somebody an option? And what I like for you to consider saying yes, not to say yes, but if you say yes to all right. these things, you could consider it an opportunity to say yes.
Well, for me, as you mentioned, when you read that passage, I had a hard time telling people no at church. I mean, because if anybody goes to a Southern Baptist church or even a Methodist church in our area, you know, the minute they find out you can do something, they put you on every committee, they make you a deacon or an elder. Before you know it, you're doing 15 different things in the church, and you may have been a member 6 months. And so for me,
what happens when you're multi-talented, Bruce.
That is true.
And kind-hearted.
Yeah. Well, some of those people really aren't multi-talented, but we won't go there. Anyway. So for me, my first question was, what does God want me to do? I mean, I really believe God gives everybody a purpose and a meaning in life. And sometimes it takes your whole life to find that. But, you know, does God really want me to do this that somebody's asking me to do? What is his purpose? What is his will for my life? Then my second question was, what would Sherry, that's my wife, what would my wife want me to do? How is this going to affect our personal relationship? And then third, it was, what about my family, my kids, my extended family? How is this going to affect my family if I say yes? Next one was like my extended friends, you know, people that I know around me, how will it affect them? And then the last question was, okay, how is this going to affect me personally? So I put God first and put me last. And if I can get through that whole list and I consider that, yes, this is something that is agreeable for me to do, then I would say yes. But I would always tell somebody, give me 72 hours to think and pray about it and talk to my wife, and I might tell you yes, but if you want an answer right now, it's no. And that is so hard. That was so hard.
Yeah, but that sounds so assertive.
It really is. And you're basically, you know, I'm sure you're
prioritizing.
You're familiar with the book Boundaries by Dr. Cloud.
Yeah, yes.
And, you know, a lot of those things that you're saying, it just puts up a wall, a barrier that says, I'm here, this is my space, and I need to be very protective of who I let in my space. Because of all those reasons, you know, to
exactly.
And so I really think that's a really good approach, and I really like how you incorporated your wife and your family into the decision-making process because they are the number one people that you will influence if you get overwhelmed, if you have too much on your plate, and to really put them ahead of yourself, that's a very encouraging way to look about decision-making. And I know we're about to come up on our next break.
Guilt-free decision-making.
That's right. And what I'd like to talk a little bit about is what types of decisions are you putting into this life card to use this analysis. So when we come back with Dr. Bruce Hennigan, we're going to talk a little bit more about boundaries, limit setting. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Parents, we are so anxious for our kids to meet their next developmental milestone. Unfortunately, it's easy to compare growth skills with others. Questions? We have answers at Family Solutions Pediatric Therapy. Call 361-7180. We help put the pieces together.
If you or someone you know is in emotional stress or having thoughts of suicide, please talk to a friend or a relative. Call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-TALK. That number again is 1-800-273-8255.
The game's on. You're super hungry. Quick, what do? You don't have to make a choice. Why not come to Dax? The best food, great drinks, and every game you can imagine all over the walls. Come try our wings, po'boys, and burgers. Everything is homemade. Our chicken sandwich is the best in town, and you won't miss a minute of the action while you're eating it.
Dax Wings and Grill. Now with four locations in Monroe, Bossier City, Shreveport, and in Ruston in the Graham Shopping Center.
Portico Bar Grill has what you crave. Steaks, seafood, burgers, wings, pizza, homemade pasta, and signature dishes. Portico Bar Grill has something to please the pickiest of eaters. Enjoy outdoor dining, top-notch wine, and 17 beers on tap, and the best lunch and dinner specials daily. Enjoy a special dinner on the open-air patio. Weekends full of fun with friends or a nice evening with family in the roomy, brick-lined bar and grill. The gang at Portico Bar and Grill are always happy to see you and your friends. Drop in after work or bring the family to Portico Bar and Grill today.
Listen and you'll hear it. The unmistakable sound of cheering, crashing helmets, and referee whistles that can only mean one thing. Louisiana football is back. Origin Bank has been a team player for more than 100 years, supporting our customers and communities to succeed no matter what challenges arise. From mobile pay to checking, savings, home and business loans, Origin's full suite of banking products and services is tailored to meet your individual needs. Visit originbank.com for details. Louisiana Football and Origin Bank, two proud team traditions. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
I'm Dr. Scott Shelby with Family Solutions. When you hear the words Family Solutions, you may not know that we're a comprehensive, strength-based counseling and psychiatric clinic. Family Solutions provides psychiatric care, individual and couples therapy, child and adolescent counseling, psychological testing, medication management. We also provide occupational therapy, physical therapy, speech therapy, and ABA therapy in one convenient location. For more information on how we can help your family today, visit FamilySolutionsCounseling.org.
You're tuned in to the Mental Health Happy Hour on KMLB 105.7 and AM 540. For questions or comments, call or text the Mosquito Authority hotline at 318-324-1500. If you're out of the area, you can reach us at 800-259-1440. Now, back to the conversation.
Welcome back to the Mental Health Happy Hour. We're here discussing mental health and wellness. I'm Scott Shelby, alongside Dr. Scott Zintner, and our special guest, Dr. Bruce Hennigan, out of Shreveport, talking about overcoming depression. Dr. Hennigan, talk a little bit about when you would want to implement some of those questions that you just went through on the previous break. I'm thinking, is it something we need to consider for every situation that we face, major decisions? Kind of give a breakdown on how we could, go through that list.
Sure. Yeah, well, the first thing I would say is you need to develop a plan. So, and that plan is going to be personalized for everyone. But you need, and part of what we talk about in the book is how to develop a plan, because if you have a plan to deal with your depression, you can handle it much more when you get these crisis points or these tough questions coming at you. For me, I developed a thing called my spiritual compass because of church work and all, I would not be able to say no. And I was able to put a true north, those things that I felt were were best for me spiritually, the things, and these were activities like Bible reading, devotion, prayer time, spending time alone, meditating. Those were the important things. And then at the other end of my compass, at South, I would put those things that, that distracted me, like, sense, you know, a need for approval. I want everybody to like me. I want to be involved. You know, so for me personally, it was developing this kind of spiritual compass. And as part of that plan, every day I had a very specific set of things that I do. Bible reading, devotion time, prayer time. When I wake up, I say, God, what do you want me to do today? In the book, I talk about OAK, ordained acts of kindness. I don't think acts of kindness that come our way are random. I think they're out there. God puts them in our path, and we've got to be willing to recognize the opportunities to show an act of kindness, because altruistic actions and thinking can pull you out of depression if you can think outside yourself. So all that's kind of involved in that first question about what does God want me to do. Secondly, with my wife, I've learned to practice active listening. You know, when she's talking to me, I am listening and I'm not cutting her off. We've developed a better communication so that we hear each other. You know, men, we're men of action. We want to get things done. And women quite often need to talk through it. I'm kind of the opposite. I tend to talk too much. But learning to listen to my wife, because she had told me for years, you need help. You need to get counseling. And I just wouldn't hear her. So we've developed better tools of communication. With my family, number three, I talked about your family and your children. We worked really hard on putting the tech aside, turning off the tech, putting the phones down, and having time during the day. This is when they were at home. We would sit down and would eat together and talk and make sure we communicate before everybody ran off to their cell phones and their video games. That's really hard to do in today's culture, but I think my son's grown now, and he thanks me, and my daughter still lives at home because she has epilepsy, but they all thank us for making the importance of family time a time of to sit down and communicate and talk among ourselves. Sharing a meal and talking at a meal are very powerful tools to help people communicate, and we kind of lost that in our rapid-paced fast food culture. Those are at least three things that I would mention that kind of implement some of those decision processes.
It's very, very complex decision-making model that you have that brings into account a lot of the relational aspects that I think some individuals, you know, they want to internalize that, and really making that more of a group decision takes a lot of the pressure off of you and allows you to, you know, just be able to make the decisions that go in line with your purpose and what you feel like you're being led to do, not maybe lead somebody else's, walk down someone else's path. It's your path.
Exactly.
And to be comfortable and confident in that.
Yeah, you know, Bruce was alluding earlier to this culture, and I didn't have the kind of obstacles to living a healthy life that a lot of young people are facing now. And it seems like extremism has really gotten popular, whether it's in politics or exercise or the way we look. And it's really appealing and sexy. And I think about Aristotle. He thought that virtue was defined by striving for the means between extremes. I've had a lot of folks like yourself who give a lot. They don't really expect to take anything, but at some point they can't give anymore. And they sometimes with depression, people have a way of distorting the reality. They're afraid if they say no. And who knows if that stems from inadequacy or insecurity or wanting to be liked. They confuse self-preservation with selfishness. And so self-preservation, Aristotle would say, is the means between selfishness and selflessness. They're two totally different, diametrically opposed traits, but they can be equally self-destructive. Same thing with courage, fortitude. You know, that's the means between cowardice and recklessness and so forth. But getting back to your situation and something, you obviously have learned a lot. You're helping a lot of people from your own journey in conquering depression, putting this wonderful book together with your colleague. But it sounds like in your case, boy, this just hits you like a brick wall. What are there, when you look back, were there some warning signs that you were experiencing that if you had been aware of them, maybe you wouldn't have come crashing down as hard? I'm not, well, maybe you didn't crash down, but you sounded like you were exhausted. And what are some of those subtle signs that people need to look for?
There were. I mean, I talk about this quite a bit in the book. My major depressive episode was a crash. I compare it to skiing down a very steep slope, snow skiing, and suddenly there's an avalanche above you. And as long as you're skiing straight ahead and you don't slow down and you don't miss a turn, you're going to outrun the avalanche. But all of a sudden, you begin to wobble a little bit, and your skis are a little bit off kilter, and then you get worried, and then you get anxious, and all of a sudden, the avalanche hits you, and you have what we call a yard sale. You know, everything.
Yeah. I've done that several times.
Yeah, I've done that several times, too. And suddenly, your whole life just falls apart. And so for me, looking back, what started the avalanche? You know, what was going on behind me that I wasn't seeing? And part of that, that took 2 years of therapy. But looking back, you know, I had a crisis of faith. I talk about that in the book, where I was challenged about my Christian beliefs. And I had to ask myself, why do I believe what I believe? Do I just believe it because I was raised as a Christian? And just what do I believe in it? And that began to create a crisis of faith. Then of course, all this decision-making we talked about. Then my daughter had her first seizure on my 45th birthday. My 40th birthday, and we soon discovered she had epilepsy. So there were multiple strands that converged on the event where I went through my major depressive episode. But when I look back, for years, I had had minor bouts of depression. And like I mentioned, my wife would ask me to get help. And usually I'd go find a book or I'd find some tools to help me get through that kind of that minor episode and begin to feel better. But that did not take care of the major underlying behavioral problems that I had. Those just kept building up and festering until I had this major event. And really the thing that pushed me over the edge was so minor. It was just a phone call from a friend who got very angry with me because of a decision I made. And this was a person who never got mad with me. And I said, something's wrong for him to treat me this way. What's going on? And then it was just like the avalanche hit me. And I found myself laying in the floor in our bedroom, literally pulling my hair out, just weeping uncontrollably. And my wife was sitting there. She was sitting in the corner reading her Bible, and she looked over, and I'm laying on the floor. And the fall was great. It was horrible. I talk about it in the book, that the fear, the anxiety, the helpless feeling. It took me about 10 days before I would even walk in front of my front door because I was afraid somebody would be looking through the side windows before I could even talk to people. It was horrible. There, looking back, there were a lot of small things that led to that. And how do you recognize those along the way? In our book, we ask four questions. What's wrong with me? How did I get here? Where do I start? And how can I conquer depression forever? And in that first two questions, we talk about some of these things that may be in people's lives that are warning signs that point to the fact that you may be suffering from low-level depression or anxiety that may snowball or avalanche into a major depressive episode.
You know, Dr. Hennigan, it just shows that you know, you're a successful doctor in Shreveport, involved in the church, well-connected, strong spiritual connection. You mentioned that, you know, this happened to you. Small things add up to that avalanche. And you also mentioned that, you know, you had 2 years of psychotherapy trying to help unpack some of this avalanche and how it started.
Right.
And I really think that it just shows that depression can, just anybody could struggle with depression. And getting
Absolutely.
That help is just so... it's encouraging to hear someone like yourself that has reached out, got the help, and see things in a different way and have things much more manageable for you and your life.
Yeah, I talk about in the book that when I finally agreed to go get therapy, and It was about a month after my depressive episode before I got up the courage. And I remember sitting in my car. The counseling center was in an old two-story house that they'd remodeled. And I remember sitting there looking through the windows into the waiting room, and I saw people sitting in there. It was a fireplace because this was in November. And I thought, those people, they're sick. There's something wrong with them. There's nothing wrong with me. I don't need this. But I had promised my wife that I was going to walk through that door. And I walked through that door, and I remember sitting in that waiting room thinking I wanted to run out of there. And then this my counselor, his name is Ron. His office was upstairs. He walked down the stairs, looked at me, had this big smile. He said, hey, Bruce, why don't you come up the stairs and let's have a talk. I will tell you, after that first hour, I have never felt so much relief. I could tell this man anything, and he could not share it with anybody.
What a great way to engage you, too. It just kind of broke the ice, and
you could
just take the weight of the world off your shoulders. Tell you what,
right.
We got to take another break.
That first
but
step.
Yeah, and when we get back, we're going to, if you don't mind, again, continuing with your own experience, how did you get better? So we'll be back to hear more about Bruce's story and also give him a chance to talk about his book and how you folks can get a copy of it.
As a parent, are you concerned with the way your child pronounces certain words? Maybe reading and writing is a struggle? Getting help early is important. Call Family Solutions Pediatric Therapy today at 361-7180. We help put the pieces together.
An estimated 26% of Americans aged 18 and older suffer from a diagnosable yet treatable mental health disorder. That is one out of four Americans. Depression, anxiety, PTSD, panic disorder, and social phobia. And one in five American teens. That's 20% of America's boys and girls. Sadly, many do not receive the help they need. There's good news. Here in Northeast Louisiana, there are many qualified, caring professionals who are here to help. Reach out today. It's perfectly okay. You're not alone. Help is near. Hi, I'm Derek Kennedy, a local insurance agent. With numbers like these, we all need to do our part to check in on our friends, family, church friends, and co-workers. Let's do this together.
The game's on. You're super hungry. Quick, what do? You don't have to make a choice. Why not come to Dax? The best food, great drinks, and every game you can imagine all over the walls. Come try our wings, po'boys, and burgers. Everything is homemade. Our chicken sandwich is the best in town, and you won't miss a minute of the action while you're eating it.
Dax Wings and Grill, now with four locations in Monroe, Bossier City, Shreveport, and in Ruston, in the Graham Shopping Center.
Portico Bar Grill has what you crave. Steaks, seafood, burgers, wings, pizza, homemade pasta, and signature dishes. Portico Bar Grill has something to please the pickiest of eaters. Enjoy outdoor dining, top-notch wine, and 17 beers on tap, and the best lunch and dinner specials daily. Enjoy a special dinner on the open-air patio. Weekends full of fun with friends or a nice evening with family in the roomy, brick-lined bar and grill. The gang at Portico Bar and Grill are always happy to see you and your friends. Drop in after work or bring the family to Portico Bar and Grill today.
Listen and you'll hear it. The unmistakable sound of cheering, crashing helmets, and referee whistles that can only mean one thing. Louisiana football is back. Origin Bank has been a team player for more than 100 years, supporting our customers and communities to succeed no matter what challenges arise. From mobile pay to checking, savings, home and business loans, Origin's full suite of banking products and services is tailored to meet your individual needs. Visit originbank.com for details. Louisiana Football and Origin Bank, two proud team traditions. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
I'm Dr. Scott Shelby with Family Solutions. When you hear the words Family Solutions, you may not know that we're a comprehensive, strength-based counseling and psychiatric clinic. Family Solutions provides psychiatric care, individual and couples therapy, child and adolescent counseling, psychological testing, medication management. We also provide occupational therapy, physical therapy, speech therapy, and ABA therapy in one convenient location. For more information on how we can help your family today, visit FamilySolutionsCounseling.org.
You're tuned in to the Mental Health Happy Hour on KMLB 105.7 and AM 540. For questions or comments, call or text the Mosquito Authority hotline at 318-324-1500. If you're out of the area, you can reach us at 800-259-1440. Now, back to the conversation.
Welcome back to the Mental Health Happy Hour. I'm Scott Shelby, alongside Dr. Scott Zentner, with our special guest from Shreveport today, Dr. Bruce Hennigan, talking about overcoming depression. And, you know, you mentioned something right before that last break about how powerful it was whenever you finally walked through that door and went and spoke with your therapist. And it's an interesting comment, because last week we had Dr. Bill Riddle. He was on, and he was talking about working with adolescents. And one of the most powerful things that he said was, there's a young man that was driving. He was a driving age. And he said, I came up with so many reasons to turn that car around and not come into that office. But I'm just so glad and fortunate that I did, and I met you, and I feel so much better as a result of us working together.
Yeah, and my counselor, Ron, after my first hour, he said, Bruce, let me tell you that you have already conquered 90% of the battle. And I said, what? He said, two things. You realized you had a problem, and then you decided to do something about it. He said, those two decisions right there, that's the biggest part of a battle against depression, is recognizing you have it and deciding to do something about it. And that was so liberating it's such a positive thing to know, hey, I'm doing the right thing here, and I'm going to get better, and this is going to help me. And then he said, it's not going to be easy. We're fixing to get into some heavy, heavy, painful stuff. He said, but you know what? The only person who doesn't feel pain is a dead man. And he said, pain is part of growing and getting better. And he told me something so powerful. He said, if you look upon your depression as a gift, it is a gift to help you understand what's wrong with you, the things that you can improve on. And he said, and then you can begin to work on your behavior and your therapy, and you're going to become a stronger, more well-rounded individual. And it goes back to, you know, your practice. You had that strength-based therapy. To me, that's what it was. It was saying, okay, find your weaknesses and find your strengths and get past this now that you've decided to do it. And that was a big, huge, it was like going over a speed bump. And now, okay, here we go. Of course, the next 2 years were pretty rough, but making that, I'm so glad I made that decision to walk up those stairs.
Well, yeah, I think that four-step recovery model, it depends on which one you look at, but there's the pre-contemplative phase, which is, I don't even know I have a problem, and there's the contemplative phase. People are telling me, and I thought about it a little bit, maybe I do. And then there's the sort of planning, and then action. And you took that first step. But so what else has helped you overcome this depression? You do write a lot about that in the book. Where you are now.
Well, another thing I learned from my counselor, he said, anytime you find yourself in a bad situation where you're depressed again or you're thinking poorly, ask yourself, what is the lie? What is the lie that you're buying into? Whether you're lying to yourself or you're listening to somebody else that's a lie about you or culture, what is the lie? And always pursue the truth and search for the truth. And that helped me a lot. It helps me really discern what I'm hearing and what people are saying to me. Because I have a very poor self-image. I grew up with a very bullying a lot when I was a kid. So asking myself the question, what is the lie? And of course, in today's culture, and with this, you mentioned the extremism, where how do we know what's true anymore? Because it's almost like what my opinion is that this is true, and therefore it has to be true. So it's hard to discern truth for your life and discern what you're lying to yourself about. Another thing that I did is I strengthened my faith. I went out and I got involved in what's called Christian apologetics, which is defending a Christian faith. And I looked at all worldviews. I assessed them intellectually, spiritually, and I came back to my Christianity as the most powerful way for me to live out my life. And when that happened and my faith was strengthened, that just gave me a much firmer foundation to work from, to conquer my depression. Another thing is learning about my weaknesses, and like I said, doing my spiritual compass, doing my life filters, and of course just learning about depression, which is what our book is all about. Our book is not a cure-all for depression. It's like a primer. It's like an introduction to what's going on. But nowadays you can go on the internet and find out so much about depression. You have to be careful what you read. But it's so important to understand what your mind, what's going on in your brain, what's going on in your body. That knowledge is power. All of those are just some three or four things that really helped me in that first 2 years working through that counseling and getting to a better place.
Yeah, and you had a very positive experience with the counseling process and therapy.
Oh, absolutely.
Can you give some advice or your take on individuals that may be listening that are struggling with depression and debating whether getting into seek professional help is right for them? What advice would you say to help reduce some of those barriers and stigmas?
Well, I think you know, a lot of people who are church-based, there may be a counselor in your church, but I think, and that may be an easy way to approach it, but I would make certain that they're a licensed counselor and not just somebody who does counseling on the side. But if you're faith-based, that may be a good place to start. And then there are always, I know in Shreveport, I know there in Monroe, you know, you guys have a practice. There's a counseling center that you can rely on. Go online and read about it. Look at it. Look at some of the testimonials. Or if you know someone who has been coming up to you and saying, you know, I've struggled with depression, who helped them? How did that help them? That's one thing that we talk about in the book is once you have begun to overcome your depression, you can become a tool in somebody else's life because you've been there. You understand what they're going through, and you can help advise them to make sure they seek professional help. And if you're aware of counseling centers or psychologists who are really effective in that area, advise them to go to a counselor. One of the things I do in the book when I talk about, you know, finding a doctor, as many times we start with our internist or family practice doctor, OBGYN, is I have a list of questions. And being a doctor, you know, those of us who are doctors, we know patients are very reluctant many times to ask questions. And I have a list of 9 or 10 questions. Put them on a list. And when you go to see your doctor, say, look, I'm going to go stand by the door. You can't leave until you answer these 9 questions. And that's kind of hard to do. But, again, this goes back to being assertive about mm-hmm. your health. I mean, in today's healthcare industry, you have to be your own advocate. You really have to push hard to make sure that you get the kind of care that you get. I mean, we know that. It's not the old Marcus Welby intellect anymore. And so be assertive in making sure that you talk to your physician. Do I need counseling? Do I need medication? Who can I go talk to about this that you're aware of? And can you refer me to a center where I can get counseling? And again, goes back to what I said a while ago. Once you've realized you have a problem, and you decide to do something about it, that's a big part of the battle. So make that decision. You're going to be proactive and do something about it.
Bruce, you have given us so much great advice. It's hard to believe this hour has gone by as quickly.
It's flown by.
I want to thank you. First of all, Scott, he's not in Shreveport. He's taking a much-deserved break in Florida with his wife and on the beach, and I can't think of a more therapeutic environment. So now he's practicing what he's
right.
preaching.
That's right.
But we're going to get...
42nd anniversary.
Real quickly, yeah, well, happy anniversary. Tell our folks where they can get a copy of your book, Hope Again.
Absolutely. You go to conqueringdepression.com, conqueringdepression.com. There is a tab that has books. The best thing I would advise to do is buy the book and a copy of the Life Filters from us. It's only $20.
Well, Dr. Bruce Shinnigan, thank you so much for hopping on. Sure. ConqueringHope.com.
Conquering Hope, no.
ConqueringDepression.com.
Conquering Depression.
Conquering Depression.
All right. Thank you so much, Bruce.
All right.
Thank
bye.
Thank you for having me.